From Georgia Public Broadcasting, this is On Second Thought. I'm Virginia Prescott. Yesterday was crossover day at the state capitol. That is when bills must be clear of one chamber or the other to remain in play for the rest of the legislative session. Lawmakers do have some ways to get around that rule, but for the most part, crossover day is do-or-die time. The Senate was in session until 7 yesterday evening, and the House stayed until 11 p.m. Both chambers passed a wave of legislation by the deadline. Here is Representative Ed Setzler of Ackworth describing one of the most controversial, an abortion bill.
But this is an opportunity for us to debate and talk about the very meaning of human life and those that are worthy of our state's protection.
Joining me now in the studio are two reporters who I hope crossed over into some sleep last night, but I'm kind of doubting it. One is our regular Friday morning guest, GPB politics reporter Stephen Fowler. Hello.
Good morning.
Good morning to you. And also with us, Donna Lowry. She's Capitol correspondent for GPB TV's Lawmakers, and welcome to you.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Well, let's begin with the biggest story from last night. The House did pass a bill that would tighten restrictions on women seeking abortions. This was by a vote of 93-73, passed after an emotionally tense debate for more than 90 minutes. Let's hear a little of that.
And I have heard from obstetricians who practice in this state and genuinely do not want to be criminalized for caring for women in our state for what they do.
That was Republican Representative Deborah Silcox, a Republican again from Sandy Springs, voted against the bill. Stephen, this was not a party line vote. What was the debate like on the House floor?
Well, Virginia, it was late in the evening. It was around 10 o'clock when the debate started. And really, it was a very, very tense, emotional debate, like you said. It started off with several House Democrats, more than a dozen or so, standing up and physically turning around while Representative Setzler, the bill's sponsor, was speaking. Some of them were holding coat hangers to symbolize unsafe in-home abortions that would happen if this bill passed, so they say. And really, it was a tense moment. The Speaker of the House demanded that they have some decorum and turn around. Eventually, they did. But there were still tense moments of the debate. We had representatives come up, speak for the bill. One read a story about a baby fetus and how the baby fetus was going to vote for the bill, and so was she. You had a representative who was delivering the minority report from the Democrats who said, kept going past her time and eventually had her mic cut from the things. And so this was a very, very emotional debate. You heard Representative Silcox there, you know, in tears sharing her debate. So, you know, there was very loaded language used from both sides of the aisle and both sides of this issue debate in talking about this bill before it was eventually passed.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the bill itself. Donna, we've heard the term heartbeat bill used to describe the legislation. Can you unpack that language for us a little? What kind of changes would be made to the existing law?
Well, it would ban abortion after a fetal heartbeat is detected. And a fetal heartbeat can be found as early as 6 weeks by medical professionals, although they say it is actually it's actually there before then. And that's before many women even know they are pregnant. So it is called the Living Infants Fairness Equality Act, LIFE, and it would prohibit abortions after that point, which would dramatically restrict abortions in Georgia, where right now it's the 20th week of pregnancy. You can have an abortion up to that point.
Now, this would be one of the most restrictive in the country, although Georgia not the only state making legislative changes to abortion laws. This week, the Tennessee House passed a similar heartbeat bill, and Rhode Island's House voted to codify Roe v. Wade into state law. So, how does this Georgia bill fit into the national conversation?
Well, what you're seeing is a lot of states taking action to stake their flag in the ground regarding the abortion debate in hopes that one way or the other, this decision will make its way up to the U.S. Supreme Court. You have this heartbeat bill, which is one of the most restrictive laws in the country. If it passes here and is signed into law here in Tennessee and other states, and then on the other end, you have states saying no, Roe versus Wade is the law of the land. So eventually, what you're going to see is this most likely go to the U.S. Supreme Court, and with the recent appointment of Justice Brett Kavanaugh, it's widely expected that this could be overturned. And that was another bill that Republicans put forth in the House that didn't make it to crossover day, but a proposal from Governor Brian Kemp would have said if that's overturned by the U.S. Supreme Court, then Georgia would immediately overturn abortion and effectively outlaw it.
What did we hear from Governor Kemp yesterday, Donna?
He was very happy about this. He pushed for the trigger law that Stephen just mentioned, which would have triggered all abortions to end if Roe versus Wade is overturned. But he was happy for anything. You know, he said during his campaign that he was going to sign the toughest abortion laws in the country, and this is a move in that direction. So he had a press conference at this past 15 minutes later at 11:15 p.m. He had a press conference to basically said he was happy about this, is moving in the right directions. A direction, of course, his base is probably very happy at this point.
Well, another issue that has become a flashpoint, the hate crimes bill. Georgia is one of five states that does not currently have such a bill. But yesterday, the House passed a bill that could change that. Donna, what kind of protections are offered in this bill?
It's protections for everything from race, religion, creed, the LGBT community, all of that. And it is considered very monumental for Georgia because 45 states already have hate crime bills, and Georgia's one of the ones that doesn't. So this is a move in that direction. It received pretty good support last night. It didn't look at first like it was going to make it, but they went for it, and there was a lot of cheering. That was before, of course, the abortion bill. So it was a very emotional night of roller coaster feelings.
Well, Stephen, last night the House did only vote it down against two bills. They both dealt with health care. What got shot down?
So, yeah, over the course of the night between the two chambers, there were close to 90 bills that were voted on. In the Senate, two of them were tabled. In the House, two of them failed. And these two both deal with health care, like you said. One would have overhauled the Certificate of Need program, which is this requirement for health care facilities that if they want to open up a new facility or do something, that they would have to get this Certificate of Need that shows that they, you know, needed to be there. And this was hopefully the sponsors of the bill wanted this to do something to kind of help rural health care and help things in rural Georgia. But it wasn't enough because several lawmakers were worried about what that would do to their hospitals and their things like that. And the sponsor of the bill, Representative Matt Hatchett, said, you know, it will be back, that he was down, but they didn't count the 10. And so the CON bill could be one of those things that continues after the session, but most likely pared down a lot. And the other bill that didn't make it that was somewhat of a surprise was surprise billing. And this was a measure in the House that dealt with surprise bills sent to patients who thought that they were covered by insurance. That failed 77 to 78. But the Senate did pass their own version of surprise billing legislation, so that concept and issue will still be discussed.
That's not going away. That's GPB Politics reporter Stephen Fowler. Also with me, GPB Lawmakers reporter Donna Lowry. Both somehow awake to talk about yesterday's marathon session at the state capitol during crossover day. Another bill would allow the state to take over operation of the Hartsfield-Jackson Airport in Atlanta, now heading to the House after clearing the Senate last night. The city of Atlanta is not going to let it go easily. And Donna, you had a sit-down interview with the Atlanta mayor, Keisha Lance Bottoms, last week. Let's just hear a little bit of what she had to say.
The state's had its own challenges. When the state's had challenges with procurement with some of our university partners, there was not a call for the Federal Department of Education to come in and take over. When the state has had any number of ethical allegations, there's not been a call for the feds to step in and take over.
Donna, why did Republicans pass this bill, and why is the city so opposed?
Yeah, well, Republican Burt Jones is the one who pushed this. He had a commission last year that looked into this, and basically it has to do with corruption at City Hall, mismanagement. We had an indictment this week that we heard about, and the feeling that the city isn't doing a good job when it comes to running the airport. Of course, on the other end, the mayor calls this an act of war. She is upset and vehemently opposed to anybody taking over the airport. She actually pointed fingers more so, as you heard, toward the state and said that they wouldn't do a better job of this. The other thing that came into play was that we've had this happen in Charlotte, mm-hmm. and where North Carolina tried to take over the airport in Charlotte in 2013, went into protracted litigation, and in the end, Charlotte is still running the airport. There's still some litigation going on. So this is two sides really putting their stick in the sand and saying, hey, listen, we are going to stick with where we want to be. We're yet to hear how the governor feels about this, right. I think, too.
So the FAA, he says he's just keeping an eye on it, I think.
That's it.
Sticking with the Senate, Donna, one notable piece of legislation that did not advance this week, a bill dealing with school vouchers. What did lawmakers reject, and how does that square with the larger push for legislators to address education?
That's interesting. School vouchers is what the opponents call it. The people who are for it call it school choice. And it is a matter of having money that would go into the public schools be used in private schools for kids who may have been bullied, who they talked a little bit about kids who have special needs, but kids who want another choice in schools. The money is the big issue. It could be up to about $500 million. And so that's the big problem with it. But it could go toward tuition, textbooks. It could be going toward therapy for kids. And it did not pass. We thought it might come back up again last night. It did not. But we know that this fight is not over and that both sides are ready to fight in this one, too.
Stephen, other bills, big or small, that did not make the cut to Crossover Day?
Well, you know, there are over 500 bills filed in the House so far this session, and the Senate has well over 200. So there are plenty of things that didn't make it. But some of the notable ones in the Senate, there was this measure, Racinos or paramutual betting or horse racing or the Rural Jobs Growth Act, as it was officially titled, whatever you want to call it, that did not make it up for consideration and discussion. The bill's sponsor, Senator Brandon Beach, is running for U.S. Congress next year, so maybe that's something fallen by the wayside, or it could be something that makes its way in at the end of the session. But that was a big one that didn't pass. Also, the Equal Rights Amendment, it was big at the beginning of the session in the Senate, with Georgia potentially being the 35th state to do that. That didn't make it. And, you know, there are dozens of other bills, big and small, that didn't find their way through.
So, quickly, we've got to wrap, but, you know, do or die day, that's what they say. But there are ways the bills can rise from the dead after crossover days so that we might see them again. How might that happen?
Well, so if you take a look at some of the bills that did pass, they're kind of generic or kind of vague or kind of dealing with things that you didn't even know were things. Some of those may be vehicles to be cannibalized by other bills that didn't make it that maybe have the same code section. So if there's a generic tax bill, that could be replaced by a controversial tax bill. Or if there's a generic, you know, horse bill, maybe the horse racing bill goes in there. And it's also just kind of a handshake agreement, because if the leadership wants something and the Governor Kemp wants something, they will find ways to make it work in either the House or the Senate. So, you know, nothing is dead until day 40. And even then, this is the first year of the biennial session. So anything that doesn't pass this session is automatically back on the table when we start again next January.
Well, and you guys are back at it today, Stephen Fowler and Donna Lowry. Thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
GPB politics reporter Stephen Fowler and Donna Lowry, Capitol correspondent for GPB's Lawmakers. Crossover Day will, of course, be the subject of Political Rewind show today at 2. You can watch it on Facebook Live. You can podcast it later. It's going to be posted right after the show. Bill and his guests are going to spend an hour with news and analysis, so stay with GPB for that. But coming up for us, people who don't normally interact sit down for frank conversations about race on camera. We're going to talk to two participants from Macon Conversations. I'm Virginia Prescott. Stay with us for more on Second Thought.